It's indeed my pleasure to be here with you tonight to share with you some thoughts from God's Word. We want to open our lesson tonight with a passage from Romans chapter 12. I'd like to invite you to pick up your Bible and study along with us as we search the Scriptures tonight. And as we always mention, and we hope and pray if there be any in our audience today who have never rendered obedience to the Gospel, that you would take into consideration today your soul and its condition. And if that's a lost condition, that you'd see fit to come forward tonight and through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, become a member of the Lord's body. If you've been a member of that body but you strayed away, we'll invite you also at that time to come forward and we'll pray with you and for you. Begin reading tonight in this passage, Romans chapter 12. We're going to read the first six verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. There are many facets of the Bible, as well as facets of our lives, that require consistency. Our message tonight is about consistency. I'd like for us to take a few minutes tonight to explore, as you and I, everybody in this room, ultimately seek the same goal, and that's to make certain that we have a place in heaven throughout eternity. We're going to look at consistency tonight from two fronts. First, from the stance of human beings in general, of which we all are included. And secondly, consistency as it relates to us as Christians. As human beings, where are some places or what are some facets of our lives in which we desire consistency? In which we require consistency? Or otherwise find consistency in our lives? The first thing that popped into my mind when I began to outline this message was the fact that children are in need of parents that are consistent. I see that in my own life and I see that in my job as well. Children wish for, although they won't ask for it, boundaries, guidelines, and parents that follow those consistently. Children require consistency from their parents with respect to love, as well as discipline. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. Read verses 11 and 12 out of Proverbs chapter 3 as we talk about consistency as a parent relative to our children with love and with discipline. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So our example comes from there. As we strive to be parents that correct our children because we love them. And also in the book of Proverbs, there are four passages, and I won't turn to those. I'll be glad to share those scriptures with you. But there are four passages in the book of Proverbs that talk about not sparing the rod to discipline our kids, but at the same time, we temper that with what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians when he said, provoke not your children to wrath. And then also when he spoke to the Corinthians in the Corinthian letter in chapter 3 and also said, provoke not your children to anger, as he cautions parents against being too severe with their children. But my point being, parental discipline must be consistent for a child to learn from it. It can't be such that when we're having a bad day, we hold our kids to the letter of the law And when everything's going well, we let them slide with anything that they want to do. We have to be consistent as parents. In much the same way as we've talked about the parent-child relationship, I think the same thing, the same principle of consistency that we've talked about is also true under the umbrella of us as human beings as it pertains to a few other relationships. One of those is the teacher-student relationship. If you've worked in the world of education, you probably know the term in loco parentis. The law says that the employees at the school, the teachers and the administrators at the school, are in loco parentis, which means in the place of the parent while the child's are with them. So we as parents want that for our kids when they're at school. We want them to have teachers that are as consistent with discipline as we hope to be as parents with our own kids. I think this same relationship is also true, and this same need for consistency is true for us on our jobs. When we think about the relationship between the worker and the boss, there's a passage I'd like to read in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18, if you turn with me there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 18. Peter had this to say: "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward or the harsh." And if you've worked any number of years, you've probably worked for somebody that was good and gentle, and you've probably worked for somebody that was harsh. And Peter is talking to us here about our relationship with that person. Also look over to Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. As the Apostle Paul wrote to Titus, and he touched on this same topic. Titus chapter 2 and verse 9. "Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again," or not talking back. So I hope you see how consistency is important in the relationship of us as parents with our children. It's important in the relationship of a teacher to a student and a boss to a worker. Human beings desire consistency, require consistency, or otherwise find consistency in another area, and that's when we, in our own life, seek self-improvement. Think about areas in your own life that at some point in your life you said, "Hey, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to try to do better." Most common is probably losing weight. "I'm going to go on a diet, I'm going to lose weight." Well, if you've ever tried that, you know that without consistency, that's certainly going to fail. What about our health? "I'm going to begin exercise. You know, I need to be healthier. I want to live long enough to see my grandkids. So I'm going to begin exercising." Again, consistency is needed in order for that to be fruitful and to be a part of your life. What about our minds? We want to make improvement with our mind. We're going to take a class, or we're going to begin to read books. Consistency, again, is very needful for that to be fruitful in our lives. What about our efforts to be a better person? When we look at ourselves and critically decide, "Hey, I need to do a little better than I've been doing. I want to be a better spouse. I want to be a better sibling. I want to be a better parent." Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 through 33. The Apostle Paul wrote this: "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So the Bible speaks to us about this relationship between spouses, and in order for us to make that work, it takes consistency on the part of both. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. If our self-improvement effort is to be a better Christian, this verse is very important to us with regards to consistency. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. What about if we decide we want to be a better brother and sister to our brothers and sisters in Christ, the family that Brother Allen talked about last night? Well, let's read a couple more verses here in Hebrews chapter 10. Look at 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. As human beings, we require consistency. We desire consistency, and when we're not looking for it, we find consistency in our lives in the areas we've talked about today: parent and child, teacher and student, boss and worker. In our own lives, when we try to improve something about our life, whether that be through diet or exercise or beginning to read or taking a class, when we strive to be a better Christian, a better spouse, a better sibling, and a better brother or sister or sibling in Christ. The remainder of the lesson tonight, I want us to talk specifically about how Christians desire consistency. How we as Christians require consistency, or otherwise find consistency in our lives. First of all, we need consistency from our supporting cast. And Brother Allen's lesson lended itself very well to this point. We need consistency from our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've just read the passage in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25 about considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works, to exhort one another so much the more as we see the day approaching. And as we examine our lives closely and truthfully as Christians, ask yourself, how often do we do that? How diligent, how consistent are we with those efforts? Turn back with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, verses 20 through 22. This is a passage after the Apostle Paul had been beaten, had been stoned, and left for dead. Acts chapter 14, verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed he with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. Paul's brothers and sisters, his supporting cast, supported him in this time of distress. Look over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. A passage here about Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy supporting the Christians at Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Do we do that among our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we exhort Do we encourage each other that we might walk worthy of God? That we might strive to carry out our duties as Christians? Because we need that encouragement to do that. It's so easy. It is so easy to do nothing. And to say, well, somebody else will take care of that. And not do it ourselves. We also, as Christians, desire consistency, need consistency, require consistency among our brothers and sisters in Christ, in the family that Brother Allen talked about last night, so that that group might work in harmony and unity. And for that to take place, for that to be successful in that group, it starts with each of us individually. And it says a lot about our character, if we're honest. Simple word, easy to say, but are we? If we're sincere, when we tell someone an encouraging word, are we telling them just to be telling them, or are we sincere? When we strive to build a brother or sister in Christ up, when we try to pick them up when their world is falling apart around them and things are crumbling, are we honest and sincere in what we say and what we do to help them? Look at Titus chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. Titus chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8. The Apostle Paul wrote this to Titus. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Now that passage tells us a lot. In verse 7 he says, in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. And remember, we're talking about unity and harmony among our family, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and how that begins with us individually, that we show a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing uncorruptness or integrity, gravity or reverence, sincerity, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that he that is of the contrary part, he that might be an opponent, somebody that's looking to see us stumble, somebody that's looking to see us fail, might be ashamed because they don't have anything bad to say about you. Our character and our individuality, being able to do these things that we're describing, so that that's contagious among our body, our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that that group together can work in harmony and unity, requires of us being just men and women. Brother Allen talked last night, I read out of Matthew about Joseph was a just man and how that involved his character. You and I have to be just men and women of God with consistency, meaning we're that way every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. As Christians, we need consistency. We require consistency in our prayer life. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. After Peter had preached the first gospel sermon, and we read the example set for us here by the early church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we find something that the early church did. Acts 2 and 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Continued steadfast, consistent in prayers. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Turn over there with me if you will. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We have some help. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Paul in 1 Thessalonians said, pray without ceasing. And he didn't mean let every word all day long, nonstop be prayer, but he means that we need to pray and have a schedule, if you will, of prayer. We need to pray every day. We need to pray often every day. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Turn with me there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Paul gave this advice, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And prayer is our avenue to speak to God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just as Paul said, let our request be made known, but with thanksgiving. So when we approach God in prayer, we don't need to be a person that only does that when we're in need. Only does that when we're worried about somebody in our family being harmed or being sick or in some kind of trouble. We need to have a prayer schedule. We need to pray daily. We need to pray often daily. We need to set aside time. And I know your schedules are busy, but we need to set aside time each day that we pray. And when we pray, we need to thank God, first of all, for all He's done for us. And it's very easy once you think about it, all the blessings that He has given us day to day. And we see new ones every day. And at that same time, make our request known unto Him. As Christians, we need consistency in our efforts to study and meditate upon God's Word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, a passage that's probably very familiar to you. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So many times as Christians, I think we're guilty of neglecting that verse, omitting that verse, and leaving that out and not working into our busy schedule time to read and meditate upon God's Word. In the book of Psalms, the psalmist David, I want to read a couple of passages there where he talks about his meditation upon God's Word. Look at Psalms 119, verse 23. Psalms 119 and verse 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Same chapter, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. And I think you and I need the mindset of David there, that we're going to take time to study and meditate upon God's Word. How else can we find God's will for us? As Brother Donald talked about earlier in the week, how else can we find that out if we don't take time to study and meditate upon God's Word? Brother Donald explained very well that our purpose here is planned by God, and we have to study to be able to discover it. Brother Tim expounded earlier in the week upon the consistency of the Bible. And he said even though it was written by many different men from different walks of life in different places with different cultures, the Word was consistent, and the consistency lies in the divine inspiration given to those writers to pen those words so that they are in unity and in harmony. Our study of the Bible must be just as consistent as those words are, even though they came from different men and different places and different walks of life, in order to be fruitful. As Christians, we need consistency in our individual Christian life and in our Christian service. To meet our goal of inheriting a home in heaven throughout all eternity, we need consistent service to God, and this is one of the things on the list I'll tell you tonight that needs a little more than consistency. We need consistency, but we need that with constant improvement. I think we need to strive each day to do better. Brother Lee said it in his prayer tonight. We don't want our Christian service to become stagnant. We want to move closer each day in our life as a Christian to the perfect example that Jesus left for us. We're not going to be perfect, no. But I think we need to take time each day to think about what happened to us that day. Where we went, what we did, what we said, what we didn't do, what we didn't say. Identify where we were wrong. Strive tomorrow to make correction. Ask forgiveness for that and strive tomorrow to make correction. And then if we can be successful in that, which will take great consistency, but that gradual improvement can come, and day by day, we get closer and closer to the example that Jesus set for us. Are we ever going to be perfect? No, we're not going to be there. But we can get closer than we are today. I have confidence that we all can get closer to that example than we are today. In our opening text tonight, we talked about, from Romans chapter 12, about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Think about that for a minute and what that means. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. That says, God, here is my body. Use it to your glory. We're sacrificing it. We're giving it up. We're saying, use it to your glory. Now, using it is going to depend in part on what we do. You know, are we going to use it when we have some downtime to go play around the golf? Are we going to use it to go shopping? Are we going to use it to go fishing? You know, we can pick up our body and go and do places and things that are God's will and that are our duties as Christians to do. So if we're going to present our bodies a living sacrifice and we're going to say, God, here's my body, use it to your glory, then I think we need to know which direction to go to do that. And then in the next verse it said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's going to definitely take consistency to be transformed, to have a renewing of our mind. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, that took place long ago when you were a babe in Christ or when you were young in your Christian walk. Look, turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus and he said this in verse 14 of chapter 4, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. As a seasoned or a mature Christian, and I'm not talking to those that are babes in Christ, but if you've been a Christian for some time, then you should be referred to as a seasoned or a mature Christian. You have to be firm and consistent in what we believe in and what we do, and we have to grow each day spiritually. We have to be beyond the point that we were at a year after we were saved. We have to be beyond the point that we were at 2 years after we were saved. If we're in that same point, we're stagnant. We're not moving forward. We're not getting closer each day to living the example that Jesus set for us. We have to be consistent. You know, we have those times in our lives, and first of the year is a prime example, when we make resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And we're fired up about it, and for a couple of weeks we do it. And then it fizzles out. We get that way as Christians. We at revival time is a prime example. We get pumped up. We get excited. But do we remain consistent with that enthusiasm as the year progresses, so that when the next revivals roll around, We're revived already. We're still revived. Why do we need consistency with steady improvement in our life as a Christian, as a child of God? One reason. Because our God, the God we worship, is the picture of consistency. God is consistent in supporting His children. We're going to talk about, I think, about three things, about three ways that God is consistent. God is consistent in supporting His children. Look at John chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. John chapter 15, verses 4 through 8. John penned the words of Jesus, and Jesus said this, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." It's a two-way street. Jesus says, "Abide in me, and I'll abide in you." Striving every day as a Christian to do His will, so that He will abide in us. Look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. Matthew 19 verse 26. "But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." All things are possible, but notice the prerequisite. With God, all things are possible. We can accomplish so much if God is with us. Versus nothing that we can accomplish alone. Brother Brad spoke this week about the phrase, impossible, difficult, done. And he talked about that with respect to the children of Israel being released from Egyptian bondage. Seemed to be an impossible task. About the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And about the walls of Jericho falling. All those seemed to be impossible or at least difficult tasks that were all done because God was with them. But soon thereafter, he went on to talk about God's people were not so successful because God wasn't with them anymore. Turn back to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7, verse 1. "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Ashan the son of Kamar, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel." Look over to verse 7. "And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan." Look at verse 10. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." What he was talking about was this Achan, A-C-H-A-E-N, I know I'm butchering that name. But when they went into after the walls of Jericho had fallen, their instructions were to go in utterly destroy everything except Rahab the harlot and her family. And of the good things, the jewels, the gold, those type things, to save those for the treasure. But this Achan took some of the spoils for himself, and evidently nobody noticed it, because he took it back to the camp and had it hid inside their camp. And so their next battle, they weren't successful, and that's why God wasn't with them. They didn't do what He had asked them to do, so He wasn't with them. Second thing that our God is consistent about is in dealing with His children. He's given us His written word, the Bible, to study and to know His will for us. And although we're consistent, we're inconsistent as a whole with our use of the Bible. Brother Dana talked about this earlier in the week and gave us a statistic from an article that he read. I think it was called The State of the Bible 2012, where there had been a decline in how many Americans think of the Bible as sacred literature. It had declined from 86% in 2011 to 82% in 2012. So although we're inconsistent with our use of the Bible, God is consistent by what He's told us in the Bible. That's going to be. That's going to stand. That's what we have to study and to know His will for us. It's not changing. God is consistent in dealing with His children in the fact that He loves His children. Look at Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." He loved His Son. He loves you and I. Remember, we as Christians are joint heirs with Christ. Shows His love for us through correcting us. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 9. We've talked about a parent correcting their child. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 9. "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" So as His children, we're corrected. He chastises us and corrects us. And that shows His love for us. You know, I had a person tell me one time that they didn't believe that God did that. But I mean, the Bible tells me that He does. And I feel like sometimes when I face a setback, and I think you may understand as well, when something in your life goes a little different than you had planned it, perhaps it's God's chastisement of us because we haven't followed His will as He would have liked us to. The third thing is our God is consistent in dealing with sin. Brother Dana spoke about the believing, the faithful Gentiles that were grafted into the established root. But he also spoke about the established branches, the Jews that were cut off because of unbelief. Brother Brad spoke about the saving of Noah and his family, and that came from Genesis chapter 6. Because of sin, God destroyed all flesh, saved Noah and his family, plus two of every other living thing of all flesh. We know that God is consistent in dealing with sin because of the sin that was in Sodom and Gomorrah. God destroyed those cities with fire and brimstone that came down from heaven, but saved Lot and his two daughters. We know about the story of that proves to us that God is consistent in dealing with sin about Uzzah in 2 Samuel, how when the oxen that was carrying the ark shook, he put his hand out to steady it, and because the commandment was that the ark was not to be carried or touched by Levites, of which descent Uzzah was from, God smote him dead immediately. The God we worship and answer to today is the same God that we've just described. He is the definition of consistency. He does and will continue doing what He says He's going to do. He cannot lie. Look at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23 and 19. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? Look also at Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. Paul wrote to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. It is through this God's grace and mercy that you and I have hope of eternal life. It's through our fear of God's awesome power that we fear hell and strive for consistency in our service to ensure our place in heaven. And just as with all the things we've spoken about with consistency, I can't leave out the fact that Satan too is quite consistent, consistently evil. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 for us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's always there. He's always looking for a way to make us stumble as Christians. He is consistent as well. So in closing, I ask you this. Where do you stand tonight? Are you a Christian who is consistent in his or her service to God, always striving for improvement, trying to make your manner of life or your walk with God be closer day by day to the example that Jesus left us? If your answer is yes, then I commend you and encourage your progress. Are you a Christian who is inconsistent in his or her service to God, being the epitome of God's will today and the son of Satan tomorrow? A saint on Sunday and evil every other day of the week? If your answer is yes, then I say to you to recommit your life to God tonight, with consistency being your goal. Are you a person whose consistency revolves around your sinful lifestyle? A person who's never accepted the sacrifice of Jesus to have your sins forgiven and allow God into your heart? To you, I say what Peter said to those on that day when he preached the first gospel sermon. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If this is the time, as Brother Donald talked about, to give the Church of Christ a positive image in the eyes of the world, not just being known as that church that doesn't have a piano, maybe it's time for you and I to act, to stop procrastinating, to carry out the Christian duties that we know that we should have been doing all along, but we haven't been because we've been afraid or we've been embarrassed. Brother Mark spoke Sunday morning about a conversation in the book of Esther between Esther and Mordecai, where Mordecai encouraged Esther to speak up to stop a plot against the Jews. I want to read this passage. It's from Esther chapter 4 and verse 14, and that's the last. There's one other passage I want to close in, so this is the next to the last verse. I know my thoughts have been kind of lengthy. Esther chapter 4 and verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, this is Mordecai speaking to Esther, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And Mark's point was this. Mordecai was saying to Esther, who knows if the reason that you were put in the position that you're in the kingdom was to do what I'm asking you to do today. Have you passed up on doing something, saying something in some certain situation that perhaps God willed you to do for Him for the fulfillment of His plan? Were you put here at this particular time and place in the situation in your life that you're in today for just such a time as this, as we read in the book of Esther, yet you might lack the courage to act upon it. I want to close with the passage that we started with today, Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. If you're in either calling tonight, we extend the invitation to you to come while we stand and sing.